Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Common Sense with Dr. Ben Carson. I'm your host, Ben Carson, and we have a very fascinating guest today. You know, you probably woke up this morning when your cell phone pinged you, and then you had to look at it immediately to see what you're supposed to be doing that day. And your whole life seems to be revolving around that thing. Think about the last time you misplaced your phone and the panic that set forth in your life and in our children's lives. Well, our guest today has something to say about that, but he's also been very active in getting churches started. And can you just, Pastor, tell us a little bit about how that became something that was important to you?
Yes. Thank you, Dr. Carson, for having me on. 92% of Americans have a smartphone, and the latest research now is that the general population are spending 5 to 7 hours a day in screen time, and teenagers, on average, is 7 to 9 hours a day.
Wow.
And the impact, as you know, is a mental health crisis. Social scientists call this a collective action problem. This is when lots of people are doing something that is having a detrimental impact on them, but no one wants to step away individually because they have the fear of missing out. These phones, as you said, have become sort of the portal in the way that we experience life. Everything is revolving around these things. And so we tried a little experiment with our church and invited them to go on a digital fast together.
Yeah, I saw that.
and so what's interesting is that no one really wants to do a digital fast by themselves. But when a whole community does it together, when teenagers and parents and the teenagers' friends and a small group at a church, the entire church, when they go on this journey together, you're almost gamifying the thing. One thing that's interesting, when I ask people if they've ever done a digital detox or a digital fast, almost everyone says the same thing. They say, no, but I need to. People know that they have an unhealthy attachment to these devices. And so positioning, stepping back from them together as an entire community has turned out to be a very fruitful and a really exciting thing for people to do.
Now, is it as much of a problem in Australia where you were born as it is in this country?
Yeah, this is a global problem, which is interesting because as research has been done in the impact on particularly on teenagers' mental health, particularly teenage girls' mental health, it is in all of the Western countries, it is exactly the same curve. There is this same pattern of tremendous rise in depression and suicide, feelings of sadness. For a long time, the research was unclear what the correlation was between this technology and people's mental health. But the research is now clear. It is not just a correlation, it is a causation. And so, Australia is experiencing the same epidemic that America is with the impact of these devices.
Yeah, you might be interested to know I actually lived in Australia for a year.
You did? Where did you live?
In Perth.
In Perth.
I was the senior registrar at Sir Charles Gairdner Hospital in neurosurgery. It turned out to be a tremendous experience for me. So.
Well, that's great. And you didn't pick up on the accent, Dr. Carson.
I'm not a dinky diocese yet.
But I like it.
My oldest son was born there. He is.
Oh, no kidding. I had no idea.
Yeah, he has dual citizenship. But, one thing that I sometimes worry about when we look at the advances in digital technology, not just AI, but virtual reality. You know, it's hard enough to get the kids away from the Nintendos and PlayStations. Right. Can you imagine what it would be like when you can create your own world and disappear into it? What does that say for parents? What do parents need to be thinking about?
So this is what I like to say to parents is I want to give parents, I don't want them to feel guilty or ashamed of what they've done because the research wasn't clear until more recently. So a lot of parents, well, I have three teenage daughters, and a lot of parents did what I did.
You have three teenage daughters at the same time in the same house?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
Pray for me, please. So what I did is when my oldest daughter was old enough to do sleepovers or play school sports or whatever, it felt like it'd be a good idea that we could keep in contact with her. So I found an old iPhone in a junk drawer in my house, and I powered it up and gave it to her, you know? Without a lot of forethought. Well, now the research is showing the impact of social media, particularly on teenage girls, particularly on girls that are going through puberty, is very, very significant. It's actually very dangerous. And so the best thinking advice now, a lot of it's coming from a social scientist by the name of Dr. Jonathan Haidt. He wrote a book called The Anxious Generation, and he is suggesting that people need to adopt new norms, new best practices when it comes to when we would be giving these devices to our children. And his best suggestion is there should be no smartphones before high school. If you want your child to have a phone, give them a flip phone, give them a phone that just does texting and phone calls. The second thing is no social media before 16. Let a child get through the majority of the puberty years before we start giving them the pressure of comparison and the impact of social media. You know, full-grown adults have a difficult time regulating their behavior and their consumption of social media, let alone giving it to a 13-year-old and letting them just, you know, look at whatever they want. And in addition to that, there's so much predatorial behavior that is going on through the platform of social media as well. He's also suggesting that there should be no phones in schools and that kids should have 8 hours of having a break from staring at their smartphones. In the cafeteria, the lunchroom should be a place where they're developing social skills, where they're developing social intelligence, where they're learning to interact with one another rather than being by themselves in a corner doom scrolling on Instagram, you know?
Yeah.
Well,
you probably heard that in the state of Florida, the governor recently signed a bill barring children from having social media accounts.
And, yes.
You know, obviously people are coming at that. Some are praising it. Some are saying, this is horrible. You can't do that to the kids.
Right.
Is this something that we should be legislating, you think? Or is it something that parents should take on as their responsibility?
I think we should legislate it. I really do. I think that parents need to have best practices. Once again, this is still a relatively new, this platform, this technology is relatively new. It is difficult to have enough time to look at the impact on society. And so I think that the laws are catching up right now with all of this. But I definitely think it should be law. It should be governed by the law. But I also think that parents need specific guidance on this. Social media right now is going to be 13, and yet there's no way of validating that at all, verifying that at all. Some kid who's 9 years old can say, yeah, I'm 13, and sign up for an Instagram account. And I think that these companies actually need to be held accountable for this, because what has happened with social media is this is a free service where the people have become the product themselves. And the social media companies are profiting in an extraordinary way off of the exploitation of people. And the technology that is used on social media is the same concept as what is used in slot machines at casinos. It's actually called variable ratio schedule. Right. And the refresh rate on social media has the same impact on people's, you know, dopamine hits as it is when you're pulling the lever on a slot machine. And if you ever seen the face of someone who's sitting in a casino on a slot machine for hours, it's the same face that someone has when they're doom scrolling on their devices.
I've walked through some of those areas in Las Vegas late at night, and they almost look like zombies.
Like zombies. That's just right.
And it really is very sad. And for people to understand that that's what's happening to a developing brain, because, you know, the brain is not fully developed until your mid to late 20s. And you have people who are having all kinds of negative influences. Your brain never forgets anything, by the way. Everything you've ever seen, everything you've ever heard, it stays there at a subconscious level in many cases, but it affects who you are and how you think about things. And that's one of the real dangers, I think, of TikTok. What's your opinion of that, TikTok?
I think TikTok is the most addictive app I have ever seen. It's like crack for children. And the research has found that Instagram is the worst impact on teenage girls, but TikTok is the most addictive. And, people burn hours staring at absolute nonsense. And to your point, all of these images, all of these short videos, all of this consumption of this mind-numbing content is just getting loaded into their brains. Is there any wonder that attention span is decreasing and people feel mentally cloudy and they feel anxious and they feel overwhelmed? We were never meant to consume this amount of visual candy.
Yeah. Well, if I'm not mistaken, the name of your book is Digital Fast.
Digital Fast. That's correct. Yes.
I'm curious, how long does the fast generally last? And after the fast is over, what's the lasting impact?
Yeah. So the digital fast is a 40-day journey, and the book is leading people on a 40-day journey. And it is four movements of 10 days. So the first movement is detach. And we expect that when people start stepping back from their devices in the same way that they've been consuming, like any sort of unhealthy habit or addiction, you have some form of withdrawal. And there's a guide for sort of helping people detach from their device. That's the first 10 days. The second 10 days is to discover. And you start to discover all the things that you weren't noticing before because you were numbing out on your glowing rectangle, you know? So you discover things about yourself. You discover things about other people. You know, as a pastor, I want people to discover things about their spiritual life and their faith as well. It is very difficult to hear from God when your head is buried in this smartphone, this device constantly. So the third movement is delight, because what happens is after you really get detached and you actually realize this is a better way to live, without having your head buried in this phone all the time, you actually experience, it's like resetting your senses. And then the last movement is to determine. And determine is, when I get through these 40 days, what am I going to do on the other side of this? Now, the way that we define what a digital fast is not necessarily taking a hammer and smashing your smartphone. It is thinking about the apps on your phone through the grid of either distraction or utility. Not all apps are the same thing. Instagram is not the same as your calculator app on your phone. No one's grabbing the calculator app and scrolling for hours. No one's playing with their Southwest app for hours, you know? So what we want you to do is to turn your phone back into a utility device instead of a distraction device. So you want to remove things like social media. You want to remove the news apps. You want to remove video apps. You want to remove games. You want to remove anything that is going to be a wormhole of distraction. And then turn it back into just a utility device. And so what invariably happens, particularly when you're starting out on a digital fast, is you grab your phone, you unlock it, and then you realize there's nothing cool to look at on there anymore. And instead of you then, you know, being sucked into a wormhole of distraction, you put it down again and you interact with people that you're actually with. What a crazy idea, right?
And after that digital fast, what's the recidivism rate?
Well, so what we do is I encourage people to Marie Kondo their digital life. Marie Kondo is famous for helping people clean out closets. And she has this idea where you take an item of clothing and you ask yourself, does this spark joy in me or not? And if it doesn't, then you throw it out. So that my challenge to people is when you get through this digital fast, consider, does putting Facebook back on your phone spark joy? And what a lot of people have done, Dr. Carson, is not put social media back on their phone. Now, it doesn't mean that they don't ever interact on social media, but they don't have the same frequency and access because this device is with them all the time. And so it starts to help people have more of a healthier engagement with these platforms. If you're only going on social media on your laptop, that means that you're not doing it when you pull up at the lights and you're waiting for 30 seconds, you know?
Right.
And so it's taking some of these platforms, reimagining your relationship with them and putting them back into a healthy place rather than them being all consuming.
Yeah.
So a lot of people have done this long term. I did that myself. Yeah. After I did the digital fast, I decided I'm not putting social media back on my phone and my life is better because it's not on there.
Well, you're so right on target because, you know, particularly the news apps, you know, every 5 minutes, you know, they come up with a headline, which really is not true, but it sucks you in. And then you get through with that, and then there's a whole list of other ones down there. And the next thing you know, you've wasted an hour looking at those things.
That's right. That's right. And it doesn't mean that you don't ever want to watch the news or you don't want to be informed. It's just that the fact that these devices are almost like an appendage of our body now, and when you have just a constant draw to be distracted, it is ultimately having a detrimental impact because we have a difficult time regulating our consumption because of the frequency that we have with these devices.
Yes. Well, we are going to take a 1 minute break and we will be back with Pastor Whitehead to talk a little bit more about this fascinating topic that impacts all of our lives. We'll be back in a minute. Stay with us.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe, now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Okay, and we're back with Pastor Darren Whitehead. You know, this book, The Digital Fast, has become something that's benefiting people from around the world. How did you go from a pastor to someone who is really affecting entire populations? What gave you the idea to actually put this into book form?
So every year in my church, we do a 21-day fast. We start the year by having a time of prayer and fasting. The spiritual discipline of fasting may be the most neglected biblical practice in the modern world, and people don't like to do it. I mean, it's uncomfortable. I don't like to be hungry, you know? And yet, it may be more relevant than it's ever been because we have an ability to appease every one of our appetites at any point now. And so a lot of people were saying, you know, while we were doing the fast, the season of prayer and fasting, a lot of people were saying, well, I need to get off social media as well. And I thought, that's a really good idea, but it's a different idea. And so I decided to say to the church, hey, later in the year, we're going to try something that I've never tried before, and I've never even heard of a church trying this before. But what if we did a digital fast together? What if we all stepped back from these devices together? So the first time we did it was last year. We've now done it twice. The first time we did it was last year, and I was amazed at the impact. And people were so thankful that they got to do it. It was an opportunity for parents to talk to their kids about their digital consumption. It was a chance for parents to talk about their own. It was just very, very high impact. And so what happened is after we did this, a bunch of pastors from around the country started asking me how we did it, what were the rules or the guidelines of doing it, and could we help give them guidelines on how to do it in their church? And so that was the reason that I decided to write this book. I wanted to create a resource that would guide people through a digital fast. And I think that more and more churches are going to be doing this because it's such an ideal experiment in a church community. But I also think there's a collective consciousness that has come across our society now where people are awakening to the idea that the smartphone might be taking from them more than it is giving to them. And yeah. It didn't used to be like that.
No, it's an interesting phenomena, just the digital world in general, because when I was practicing, a lot of times parents would come in and they would say, the pediatrician says we need to start the kid on Ritalin or some other medication. And I said to them, could you hold off for 3 months? And during that time, wean your kid off of all of these devices.
Wow.
And substitute time with you, reading, discussing things, just some family interaction time. And in 3 months, if they still need it, let me know.
Yeah.
In almost all cases, they didn't need it anymore after that.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
Isn't that fascinating?
It's fascinating. So, yeah. But you found a lot of anxiety, depression, and other types of emotional situations associated with this. As a pastor, you know, you deal with emotional distress all the time. Why do these devices produce that, in your opinion?
Well, I think that particularly social media, it causes comparison. People project a life that is not actually true. You know, you compare the highlight reel of someone else's life with the reality of your life and what you know about your life, you know? And our lives are filled with lots of mundane moments and a lot of things that we have to do. We've got to pay bills and we've got to clean and we've got, you know, these don't make great digital content, you know?
Right.
But when you're escaping into your device, what happens is you see the highlight reel of someone else's life and you basically have this sense, we call it FOMO, right? It's the fear of missing out. It used to be, prior to these devices, if a bunch of friends got together and didn't invite you, you didn't know about it. And ignorance is bliss, isn't it? You don't worry about things you don't know about. Except now you're watching everyone else go to these certain gatherings or parties or events or whatever, and you realize I didn't get invited to this. And you can feel a sense of rejection in all of that. I think that there's a collection of reasons that are producing anxiety, and I'd be interested to know what your thoughts are on this as well. But when people feel a sense of discomfort or anxiety or shame, what is happening now is they're reaching for their devices and they are distracting themselves from that feeling. None of us want to feel anything that is unpleasant. And so now we numb ourselves by looking at content. And all of these feelings keep getting suppressed inside of us and undealt with. And we basically are numbing ourselves through life. And so when someone says, how are you doing? You're kind of like, I have no idea. I'm staring at this thing all the time. And I think we have a hard time regulating our consumption because there is lots of interesting things to distract you, as you were talking about with the news apps. There's always, you know, it's limitless. There's always something else, you know? And so I think that the comparison, I think that the over consumption of these devices, and I think the way that we are numbing ourselves with these devices are all contributing to the rise in anxiety.
I think that's exactly right. And I think a lot of the people who put out all of this material actually have ulterior motives in terms of manipulating people. You look at what's going on in our societies today, people driving wedges on the basis of race, age, income, religion, political affiliation, gender, you name it, dividing people up into very identity groups.
Yes.
And that is extremely detrimental because one of the things that creates a strong society is a sense of community.
Yes.
A sense of this is my neighbor. And I don't care what their religion is or their politics are. It's my neighbor. And,
yes.
You know, what does the Bible say? Love your neighbor. Not
That's
hate
right.
your neighbor. Not cancel
right.
your neighbor if they have a different yard sign. And
yes.
Since that's so prevalent, it's pushed, you know, even by, you know, the president of the United States, those people, you know, and
yes.
we're always them versus us as opposed to us working together towards solutions.
Yes.
I think that probably creates a lot of problems. But so many of the teenage girls, and you've got three of them, seem to be severely impacted,
yes.
you know, by this to a greater degree than almost anyone else. Why do you think that is?
Well, I think that particularly when girls are going through puberty, you know, they have a surge of hormones, their bodies are changing, and they're looking for external validation as they are starting to differentiate from their parents. And so when their minds are filled with, you know, so much of social media, it's just so superficial. You've just got people in provocative poses and, you know, pornography, and you just got so much of this content. I mean, there's a rise right now on preteens buying skincare products. Have you seen this?
I've seen that.
And it's just insane. I mean, their skin is perfect. You know, they're 11-year-old girls, you know, and they're doing all these skincare routines. And this is just the superficiality that is imposed upon them as they engage on these platforms. And I think that they are comparing themselves with other people. And a lot of the time, these people aren't even real, or the photographs have been completely doctored.
Exactly.
They're comparing the flaws that they have in that they perceive about themselves in their physical appearance with what looks to be physical perfection, and they feel bad about themselves, and it is very, very detrimental to their mental health.
What can parents do, and at what age should they start to help their children understand their own self-worth?
Well, what parents can do, I think, is not give them a smartphone while they're in puberty, while they're going through the pubescent years. Mm. And, you know, like I said earlier, don't have smartphones before high school, which is, you know, 14, 15 years old, and don't have social media before the age of 16. Like, that could be a best practice that people would be adopting, giving guidance and all of that kind of stuff. But by all means, as a pastor, I would be encouraging parents to be sowing into their children their value, their God-given value and their identity as a child of God.
Yes.
Getting them off of these devices and helping them develop a very healthy self-worth and self-esteem, help them with social intelligence and the way that they're interacting with one another. We are seeing a generation of kids who are so socially malnourished that they don't know how to have a conversation with an adult.
Right.
And I think parents need to work very intentionally at trying to develop those skills in their children.
Earlier on, did you say that for a lot of the teenagers, their screen time is as much as 9 hours?
7 to 9 hours is the average for a teenager in America now.
Wow.
I mean, that's breathtaking.
That's a full-time job.
It's a full-time job. That's right.
That's unbelievable. That's right.
But they're sleeping less. It's impacting their sleep. And also, because so many of them are allowed to use their phones at school, they're able to log a bunch of hours during school time as well.
Well, there is one good thing for older people who have senior moments. You can always look it up.
That's right. Well, and that's the thing with these devices is that they are also very useful. They're also very helpful. My challenge to people is let's make them utility devices, not distraction devices.
Exactly. Well, we'll be back in 1 minute with Pastor Darren Whitehead for this fascinating discussion about what the digital age is doing to each of us and how we can control it. Be back in 1 minute.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Okay, and we're back with Pastor Darren Whitehead, fascinating discussion about the digital age and how it's impacting each of us. You've been on a lot of interviews with this. You're with Pete Hegseth and Shannon Bream and a number of people. But in general, how is your message being received?
You know, it's so interesting. It used to be that the strongest felt need as a pastor, we would talk about this sometimes, what's the strongest felt need in society right now that we can be speaking to it? And I think it used to be busyness. People would say, you know, like, I'm just too busy. And you talk about that and they're like, man, I need to slow down. I need peace. I think the strongest felt need of busyness has been replaced with digital media addiction. I think everyone universally feels that this is a significant problem and it's a more urgent problem because of the impact, particularly to children and their brain development, their social development, and of course, their mental health. So people are honestly, they're looking for a way forward. They're looking like this just feels so overwhelming. Like what can we do about this? These devices are integrated into every part of our lives. What can we do? And so to do a digital fast is an actionable step that someone can take to step back And then also then evaluate, what do I want my long-term relationship with these devices to look like after I've taken a break? It's a reboot of sorts. It's a detox that then allows people to do more permanent habits coming out of it. People have loved talking about this.
Interesting. Now, taking a little different tack here, in terms of our society in general and its downward course, what role can the church play in helping to stem that? Because I've noticed that there are a lot of churches today that are woke. Mm-hmm. You know, they have their finger up in the air, seeing which way the wind is blowing.
Right.
And moving in that direction. What do you think about that trend? And is the Bible still relevant today?
Well, I believe the Bible is tremendously relevant. I recently taught through the Sermon on the Mount to our church. We spent 5 months teaching verse by verse through the Sermon on the Mount. And the Sermon on the Mount, written 2,000 years ago, has never been more relevant. I mean, it speaks with profound specificity into the moment we are in, and particularly in this season of great polarization. You know, I think that social media has become the new Colosseum. It is forcing people to fight with one another, and the ones that are really profiting off of this are the social media companies themselves.
All right.
So for Christians to be leading the way in offering a call to humility, a call to unity, a call to being charitable to one another, even if we think differently, I think that there's a great opportunity for the church to be modeling what it looks like to be unified in a time that is so divided. And I, for one, am trying to lead my church that way in just helping people be kind to one another, help people have the fruit of the Spirit, help people be loving to one another. We are all being impacted by the media and by social media, and it stirs us up to anger and polarization. We're actually the ones that are being manipulated to do this, and it is not the best way to live. The best way to live is the Jesus way. The best way to live is to forgive people and be kind to people and serve one another and be humble. And Christians, by the way, studies find, are happier than the general population. It turns out that the Jesus way really works.
It does.
And I want to invite as many people into that as I possibly can.
Well, I frequently, when I'm giving talks, ask the audience to take the niceness pledge, which just means for 1 week you have to be nice to everybody you encounter, including your spouse. And
yes.
People actually enjoy it when I go down the list of what that means.
I can imagine.
Because we've become so self-centered. I say, just you go out to get your car and the parking lot is full and you see three people following you because they want to get your spot when you get in
right.
their car. I said, don't open the glove box and pull out. Just get out of the space and let them have it. But so often, you know, we do think about ourselves and what's good for us and not what's good for others. And sometimes people can use that against us. The Marxist, for instance, use jealousy and envy as a great tool to gain a following. Of course, they never follow through on their promises to the people, and mm-hmm. people don't seem to realize that. And one of the things that is so prevalent in Marxist ideology is get rid of God, because they want you to be dependent upon them, dependent upon government, and not upon the things that are important to us as a society.
Yeah.
What is your feeling about Marxist regimes that claim to want to make things better for everybody? Who are they really making things better for?
Well, when you remove God from the equation, you really remove the morality and the scaffolding that allows our society to function. Mm-hmm. And when you believe that you are a child of God, you are a child of the Creator, you are made in the image of God, it produces an inherent worth and the moral scaffolding that allows us to live by a series of principles that are beyond ourselves. They are beyond just our own selfish desires to win or to put ourselves first. And the call of Jesus is a call to surrender, control, a desire to serve other people and to serve God. And so I see tremendous harm in the Marxist ideology that is seeking to remove God from the equation.
Well, you know, it was Vladimir Lenin who said, "Give me your children to teach for 4 years, and the seed that I sow will never be uprooted."
Right.
They understand the same thing that Christians understand by reading Proverbs 22:6 that said, "Train up a child the way he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it."
Right.
And it's so important, I think, for us as a society, and particularly for parents, to understand how critical their role is, particularly in this day and age of digital ubiquity everywhere.
That's right. That's right. You know, Jesus said in John 10:10, he said, "The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that you may have life and life to the full." I'm not sure I have ever seen a device or a piece of technology that has more of a proclivity to steal, kill, and destroy. It steals our time, it kills our relationships, and it destroys our peace.
Absolutely.
And the enemy is running rampant through these pieces of technology.
Well, you've done us a great service by this ideal of the fast, because most people, and particularly a lot of young people, don't think that they can actually live without these devices that control their lives. And you might have seen the clipping of the person who threatened one of the senators last week.
Yes.
You know, if you do this, if you take away my social media, my phone, I will find you and I will kill you and I will cut you into pieces. I mean, give me a break.
It shows it's nuts.
The profound effect that this stuff has on people.
It is. It's like a drug.
I don't think a lot of people actually understand the concept of addiction and how serious it is. You know, there's a disease called Berger's disease where the small capillaries become occluded and people can actually lose fingers and toes and even larger portions, and it's caused by smoking.
Wow.
And you see it happening, and they know it's happening. I've seen pictures of people who have Berger's disease who are holding the cigarette with the stumps because they've lost all their fingers. And I suspect.
And they're still doing it. Yeah.
And they're still doing it. Same thing with drug addicts. But I suspect a lot of those people, if they could push a button, and they wouldn't be addicted anymore, they would wear that button out. But the same thing applies to digital addictions. Mm-hmm. But there is a button you can push. You can turn it off. You can prove to yourself that you can live without it. And I think that's what you're showing us.
Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes people think that, you know, being a minister or being a missionary is about standing out on the street corner and thumping a Bible, but it's also about practical living in a world where you can actually be happy and fulfilled if you don't let other people dictate to you what you're supposed to be doing.
That's right. And my hope is that people will take 40 days to turn down digital distraction and turn up devotion, turn up the voice of God. You have such an ability to be able to hear from God when you get rid of all of this clutter out of your life. And the book is 40 days of devotions in it as well, so that you're not just putting something down, you are also picking something up. It's a guide, it's a spiritual guide where you take these 40 days to say, "God, would you speak to me during this period of time?" And a lot of people have got a lot of value from that.
Well, I think it's valuable for any kind of addiction that you have. I advise people to get this. Where can people get the book?
So you can get the book at Amazon. You can go to thedigitalfast.com. There's a bunch of resources on there. And you can download a free chapter if you'd like to do that as well.
Fantastic. Well, we want to thank you so much for writing that book, for being with us, for sharing this. And is there a parting thought that you would like to leave our audience with?
I would love to say that if you do this, you will have a moment where you say, this is a better life. 100% of people who have done a digital fast were glad that they did it. 100%. No one looks back and says, you know, I really wish I'd spent more time doom scrolling on Facebook. No one does. They're all glad that they did it. And I would invite you to step into it as well.
Well, thank you. May God bless the ministry that you're doing. Keep it up, and we'll be paying attention to what you're doing. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Dr. Carson. I really appreciate it.
And we'll be right back with my parting thought in 1 minute.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Common sense. You know, common sense, as I've said many times, is not common anymore. And we need all of you to participate in your sphere of influence to bring back common sense. We had a fantastic conversation with Pastor Darren Whitehead about what is happening in our society with something that seems so innocent, digital media. And the thing that really impressed me was hearing about the average teenager spending 7 to 9 hours a day engaged in these platforms, which sometimes can be useful, but most times they're not. And it's affecting their development. It's also taking away from quality time that could be spent with their parents or with other individuals. What is going to be the impact in the long run of people isolating themselves and utilizing only these electronic companions? I can't imagine that it would be a good thing. So I encourage all of you to get this book and to discuss it. Discuss it with your family, discuss it with your group of friends, discuss it at your church, and maybe even take the plunge and engage in a digital fast and find out that life actually can go on without all of these distractions. And in fact, it's a more abundant life. And that's what we're all looking for. And that's our program for this week. Make sure you rate us, review us, tell people about us, and spread common sense. That's the most important thing. And remember the cornerstone principles: faith, liberty, community, and life. We'll see you next week.